So, let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Again, the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, that all that we may be doing will be glorifying to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. Though it is humble, you've given us so many opportunities to serve you in so many different ways. And we pray now, Father, that your Spirit will watch over us this morning as we learn of one of the most important ways in which we have an outreach in our assembly. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, in light of this being the celebration in all of our young people, let's see, what page is that, Brian? 281. Let's all stand and sing, right? Thank you, Ryan. God loves the storm on Sunday to test and see if y'all really want to come and worship. It's really going to find out who wants to worship me this morning. And so I thank all of you for being here. We have a full morning plan, so let's just get with it. First of all, answer prayer. Last Sunday, we prayed for Jim Langston, had a surgery this past Monday, and everything went well. You're still healing, but went well. And then Tuesday, Ann Lacey had surgery, a stent put in, and everything's okay there. Good. You're still healing. All right. And John Hintz, our shoulder replacement, our friend pastor in Tucson, his shoulder was replaced, and everything went well, but he is still extremely sore and sort of immovable. And so please be in prayer for all three of these surgeries and their healing from them. Now, any other prayer requests that we need to be made known of this morning? Okay, yes.
Well, that means my headache and more longer. Okay, it is. Okay. That, so it's Monday, you know, we still have 5-7 K-30 tickets for Friday left. And because we purchased non-refundable food tickets, we were able to get the price really low, meaning that we got $30 per seat for the adult ticket, and we have three left. And then four left for the senior for $25. Now, out of these, we can add, we can designate two of them as free tickets because we got a discount. So if you can't contribute the money, but still want to come and join us at the food outing for the Friday night, this Friday at 7 at Preston Wood, Dallas, just come and tell me. I still want to have a business.
Can I designate me as one of the free people?
Sure.
No, I'm just kidding.
Just put a ticket in the offer plate.
All right, yes.
Jason has
had
a new baby 3 days ago.
Oh, wonderful. Your grandpa. Okay.
Corbin. This is another thing of praise to all of you. Thank you very much for participating in the flower fundraiser. We delivered all those beautiful flowers yesterday. There's still some out in the back. We still brought for those of you who didn't get a chance to pick them up. But we had over $1,600 in profit.
Wow, very good. Judith and I were talking about what kind of profits y'all made, so that's good. Very good. Okay.
Just, Herman, I sort of remind you that I haven't heard from Pete because I've been calling this last week. I'm hoping they heard somewhere, but it's just not clear.
We need to continue being in prayer for Eve. People now really embrace her. She's one of ours, and she's just gone through a great battle. And you don't live to be as old as Eve and plan on it being such a battle. So please be in prayer for Eve and her husband and the things that she's going through. Please be in prayer. Donna, how's your jaw doing?
Good.
All right.
My
arm. Okay. All right. How are your arteries doing?
Wedding plans are going good.
Good. All right.
My daughter.
The gentleman that visited us last week, we met him, was talking about our new roof, and a lot of you met him, Scott, and since last Sunday, and I, you know, we've been in prayer for him. Yeah, unbelievable. How'd you do in your test?
Very well.
Very well. All right. I was glad people praying for me when I was taking tests.
That's great.
Well, Scott, since last Sunday, the company, nationwide company called him and said that he's been promoted to handle everything in San Antonio, the entire area, the tire office. They've given him an office and everything. So, and he said he was going to try to make it a commitment to listen to the Sunday morning special, or actually, excuse me, Wednesday night special. He loves the Isaiah 53 study, and he and his wife will listen to that. And their baby is due Tuesday, so please be in prayer for Scott and his wife and having their baby. Any other prayer requests? The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined, first of all, as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, but also knows how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. Because it is the Spirit who leads us on what to do with our time and our money. And so, whenever you come into the handling of your finances, it must be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, with these things in mind, We're going to see in a few moments what some of that money's going for. And there's a lot of criticism of young people today, but I think when you hear things this morning, you're going to say, fine, our money is well invested in our young people, this assembly, and the homes that are represented. So let's have a word of prayer for the offertory. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this humble assembly. We're so thankful for the many opportunities you've given to us to spread the teaching of Jesus Christ and the gospel to both believers and unbelievers. You've given us the internet, Father, which we'll never know the full outreach of that. Missionary outreach. And the young people, various issues that we have, various things set up in the homes of people in this church, the camps. Father, we just pray you'll continue to enrich our outreach to the young people. It's the future of this country. Actually, it's the future of the church in this country. And then, Heavenly Father, our own assembly here. We thank you so much for the opportunity we have to come and study your word, worship with one another, sing, pray, give, all the wonderful things in the communion table that we get to enjoy here. So, Father, therefore, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you'll continue to use them to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm very jealous of this pulpit, who stands behind it and teaches. And at least two Sundays a year, we dedicate it to our young people. And I don't want to take any more time, so Chris, come on up and take over. And are you going to tell them a little bit about how many people have already signed up for summer camp? Good, all right.
My apologies for being late. We got stuck in some weather trying to pick up Neani downtown. And so if I can have 5 minutes to get set up.
Absolutely.
Get a cup of coffee, go to the restroom. I'll tell like I tell my kids, the youth group, the restroom's closed once we start. So do what you need to do and get a cup of coffee or a donut. And if you give us 5 minutes, we'll be set up.
You go, we'll sing. Brian, come on up.
No. I'm going to be up there.
Oh, okay. Well, come on up.
Take five.
All right, take five. Restrooms will be closed when he gets ready to teach.
I need a little. That big computer. Hey, Brian. That big.
All right, y'all. Thank you for your patience. We're going to go ahead and get started.
Stop.
All right, thank you for your patience. We're going to go ahead and get started. Apologies for being a couple minutes late here. But, hey, it's kind of like the kids. You just keep talking, and eventually they kind of start to come out. You know, kids just turn into adults. So it's not that they, a lot of us learn habits, right? So thank you for being here to listen to a little bit about what's going on in our youth ministries. Give me just a second. I've got some new things happening. There we go. We'd like to start with a word of prayer, and then we'll proceed into telling you a little bit about what the youth ministry's got going on right now, tell you a little bit about Slam Camp and the amazing time that we had there, some of the things that we learned Then we're going to show you a little bit of little video, maybe a little example of some of the stuff that we do up at Slam Camp and Summer Camp. Phil's going to do some teaching for us this morning. Tell us a little bit about the things that that he taught and some of the things that the young people learned. Actually, not just the young people, because all of us that were there learned a bunch. And then we'll have a little bit more music worship and call it a morning. But if you would, just bow your heads with me, please, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you for the rain. It's going to bring the spring flowers and raise the lake so that we can have the blob and have some more fun up at camp this summer. Father, we thank you for protecting everybody this past week with all the storms that came through. It reminds us of how much power you have in your control, and yet you protected all of us and took care of us, brought us back here safely. Father, I thank you for the opportunity and the honor of being involved with the youth ministry here at Spring Valley Bible Church. And what a passion we have for these young people. And it's such a blessing to be involved and see them just desire to open the Word of God and learn together and study together and worship together and fellowship. And Father, it's just amazing to be a part of all of it. Father, I thank you for this congregation and this church that supports this ministry financially, through prayers, through time. And in so many different ways. And Father, we just ask that the things we discussed this morning will be glorifying to you. We raise all these things up to you as praise of what you allow us to be a part of. We raise all these things up to you, Father, to take care of these kids and all of the staff and all the people that are involved in this ministry and in this church. Father, we thank you for who you are and what you do for us each and every moment of each and every day. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so we kind of postponed things from last week, which we were going to have this presentation last week, but we wanted a bunch of the kids to be able to come. And as you could probably see, we did not have a mass onslaught of kids this morning. But I actually want to talk to that a little bit, because the thing that I think we all need to understand is you can look around, we've got a fairly small population of congregation on a relative scale to some of the massive churches that are out there and even some of the smaller churches that are out there. We're a small group. But I want to make sure to emphasize what impact that this small group is having on the youth ministry within Plano, within Wiley, within Texas, within the United States, and make sure that you guys understand that they may not show up here, but we've all kind of come to terms with those that work with the youth on a regular basis. We pretty much come to terms with the fact that really doesn't matter. It matters to us to want to see them, and it's important to us to get to see and spend time with them, but they're not coming here, but they are coming to our homes. They are fellowshipping with us as families. They are spending time in the Word of God every week. This past week we had, and it's not a numbers game, y'all, because we had three high schoolers that could make it on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's all about you, man.
Yeah, in fact, he's given McKenzie our time.
She wasn't, right?
Oh, no. But it's not about whether or not they can be there every single week, because their lives are crazy. But they keep coming back. And so we had three high schoolers, but we had 13 junior high schools. And then the next day, we had probably, I think it's one of the biggest groups we've had in a long time. It showed up at our house in Wiley. And this is after half of the houses were destroyed in Wiley, right? There's glass everywhere. There's kids running around stocking feet. And I'm like, hey, put shoes on. So there's some craziness that's going on, but they keep coming back. And I want to point that out, because they are coming back not just to have some pizza and have some fun, which we definitely do, but it's also opening the Word of God and spending time together and fellowshipping together and laughing together. And yes, they are kids and they act just like we do as adults sometimes and doing things we're not supposed to do. But we're there to correct them in love and bring them back around to what the Word of God said. I had a first grader ask me Thursday, first grader, mind you, 6 years old. And he says, we're talking about Genesis, and then we just got through the conversation and discussions around Easter and the crucifixion and the resurrection, and we went through the road to Emmaus, and we talked through all of that, and we started rolling back down to Genesis, because they just kind of take me to all different places. faith, and he kind of takes us to all different places. And one of the things that they asked me the other day was, a first grader asked me, he says, so what if Adam never ate the apple?
Well, what do you say to that?
Well, let's talk through that. And so this gives, I mean, these are the kind of, we're talking a first grader. What if he didn't,
I mean, what if
he didn't eat the apple? We're all hosed, right? It's like, well, let's back this up. And we're talking through this. I've got a group of first graders all the way to to sixth graders. And the questions that they ask and the things that we talk about are sometimes way off track. But most of the time, they end up circling back around to some really amazing conversations. Conversations along the lines of, well, what if Christ did have? What if he wasn't born of a virgin? So we've talked through this whole thing about all the way back from Adam and Eve and the sin and the old sin nature. And I had one of the kids ask me, well, we sinned as soon as we died? I mean, as soon as we were born? I said, no. We didn't sin as soon as we were born. We had the old sin nature from birth. And so we've talked, this is some serious stuff for first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth graders, right? And then I got some of the sixth graders, like my youngest son, who asked really off the wall stuff. But I think he just wants to see if he can catch me in the confused. No, actually, they just asked some amazing stuff. And so it's awesome to sit there, and sometimes it's like herding cats, but I'm sure Herman feels that way at times too. But it's amazing to sit down and be able to open the Word of God and talk through these things and teach them the truth of doctrines of the Word of God, right? The conversation came up the other day around science and the Big Bang Theory. And I always joke with the kids and say, yeah, I absolutely believe in the Big Bang Theory. Dad, you better believe it. When God said, let there be light, I promise you, there was a Big Bang involved. Because all the energy that was ever created was right there, right now, boom, it's there. And so we talk about these things, and it gives them the opportunity to talk about what they're hearing about in school, what the things that are going on around them. And it just at times blows my mind. I'll stop moving around the gym so that I quit going in and out of the microphone. So I just wanted to kind of put that out. We may not see them here, but I can promise you that the things that are being taught there through your support, through your prayers, through just the fellowship and the encouragement that we have as families that host these things in our homes, people coming in like Phil had any kids in the youth ministry, except he's got 35 kids in the youth ministry, right? Because he teaches these kids about the slam camp and he gets to see in the summer camp, and we all have 50 or 100 kids that are going to be going, 100 plus kids that are going to be going to summer camp this summer. They are our kids. Physically, they're not located here, but I can promise you, spiritually, they are aligned with what we're teaching. And it's an amazing place to be, and it's an honor to be a part of that. So, that's kind of the update on the youth ministry. So literally, I mean, summer camp, we opened the applications opened up on April 4th. And Friday, we hit 100 kids. So we're full. We're trying to figure out how we can bring in a few more kids and squeak them into some crazy places to sleep and how Richard's going to be able to feed them all. But not only are the kids involved, but there's people from all over the state of Texas, all over the Metroplex, and all over the country that are coming in to be involved with the youth ministry that this church has established and is continuing to build. And the good Lord has blessed, in my opinion, enormously. So that's kind of the update. Financially, I'll tell you that some other time. We can always use more money, but that's how much God wants to provide. So we don't ever worry about that too terribly much. I did want to spend a few minutes this morning introducing some of the young people that are here. As I said, a lot of them couldn't come this morning, storms, or they're going to their own churches or other places. But I wanted to introduce a couple of the folks, a few of the folks that are involved with our ministry, but also went to Slam Camp over the last couple of weeks ago, and get them to tell us a little bit about why they go and why they're involved and what's important to them. So, Mackenzie, Blake, Ryan, Ben, I think this is some of the folks that we're going to... Deani's back there. So if you guys would come forward, I'd appreciate it. And Nick, while they're coming forward, come here, Nick.
Come on, Nick.
but he did. He just doesn't know what it is yet. So we'll move the mic. I'll make sure you guys get in front of the mic. But Nick, I wanted to ask you. All right. So this isn't about slam count. We're going to get these guys in just a second. But what do you like about coming to our house, since you're there anyway? What do you like about the youth group that we do? Anything that's on your mind?
I just have fun with my friends and learn about God together.
Okay. And what kind of stuff do we learn about God together? I'm really putting you on the spot. I didn't prep him for this at all. I got some heads up that I was going to ask them questions. What kind of stuff do we talk about? Maybe think about like last week.
Adam and Eve.
Yeah. What about?
How they sin.
Right. Okay. So we talked a little bit about how they sin and why was that important.
Only one perfect person, right? Who's that?
Jesus.
All right, so.
He gets to eat this week. So, all right, so same question to y'all. You guys can take, you don't have to get right up on the microphone, but come on up here, come on around here. So these guys want to see you. Tell us a little bit about, one, what did you get out of slam camp? And two, why do you keep coming back? What's important to you about being involved with the youth group?
Okay.
He goes first.
Okay. So what did we get out of camp? So basically,
hey, tell him your name, man.
I'm Blake Mazza. So yeah. What did I get out of camp? So I was one of the leaders in our group. We were divided up into three teams. And basically, the older guys and girls, we like leaded the group, like led the group. And so we were divided up into sharing. What was the other thing? Sharing Christ, living Christ, growing in Christ. And that was basically our topic for the weekend. And so my group was sharing Christ. And so we had three different meetings. And so we had all gotten the kids together and like had to think of a lesson, had to think of a game, and we had to like intertwine our game into our lesson. And since our lesson was sharing Christ, we had to think of a game for that. And so I think what me and a bunch of the leaders in my group and the kids is we got out of how to share Christ without being afraid of failure when you're sharing and being bold in our faith and when you're sharing it. So yeah.
I didn't know your name, right?
Oh, I'm Mackenzie.
Oh, okay. Some of people know.
Yeah. And so my group, we had a Living in Christ. And so like Blake said, like we had our own team, and me and a couple of my friends were the leaders of it. So that was a new experience for me and for our age, because usually we had the adults leading, but actually we are in charge of the lesson of our group, the game, and how to intertwine those. So it's actually really is a new perspective of how y'all took that and how we had to do that now. So it was a lot of work, but it was really fun during the three lessons because we figured, like, we had enough time, but then we didn't really. So, like, but we got it all done, and it was really fun to, like, see how it all came together at the end in our game and how everyone really understood, like, how we lived in Christ and how we could do that on a daily basis. So it was really cool to see how that worked out.
Well, my name's Orion, and it was my first year going to slam camp this year, and I think the thing that I got the most out of slam camp was just, like, getting to, like, be in fellowship with my friends, and, like, after slam camp, just, like, talking with them, like, they definitely got a lot out of it, too, so it was just good for me to just be, like, talking with my friends about what we learned.
Mm-hmm. So Ryan, you had said something to me about the age group thing about summer camp. Oh, yeah. Slam camp.
Like, at summer camp, we're divided up in age, and I think, like, just not being divided up in age just, like, helped because getting to talk with the older kids since they, like, had experience with drinking before, it was just, like, fun.
Cool. All right. I'm Ben, and this is my third year at SLAM, and I think the thing that I most get out of it is, like, it's not just, like, the generic Bible stories. Like, those are important, but, like, it's not like Sunday school lessons, you know. It's learning how to live your life through faith. And I think it's cool. You get to have fun while you're doing it. And also, you kind of build it, so you get to have a lot of input on how it goes. And so that's really cool for me.
Thanks, y'all. If I have more questions, I'll put you on the spotlight. Right, Nick? Right, Nick? Right, Nick? So, a little bit of background here on the SLAM camp for some of y'all that aren't real familiar with it. SLAM is Servant Leadership and Missions. This is our T-shirt from SLAM camp, and this year was about discipleship, and it's about represent, right? As a disciple, how do you live your life to represent Christ and what that's all about? But the SLAM camp, Servant Leadership and Missions, it gives the oldest kids the opportunity to lead and be a part of putting things together. Actually, all of the kids are involved in planning, and it takes like 3 weeks of planning time, and then we have the kids working on putting together the schedule and like the lessons and being involved with all of that. And so it's really more than just a weekend of getting together and having a good time. There's a lot of leadership that goes into it, a lot of preparation. And a lot of prayer, which is really awesome. So the second thing I'd like to do is have some of the staff come up, because one of the things that I have found over the course of the years that we've been doing this is that I always end up taking more away from the camps than I think the kids do. Now that's my perspective, but it's pretty amazing when I walk away from a SLAM camp or a summer camp. One being completely re-energized, watching worn out, but completely re-energized, watching how enthusiastic the kids are taking into the Bible study and being involved and the way they treat each other and those sorts of things. So I'd like to get some perspective of both Ed and Larry and Brian and Lori. Come on up, and I'm going to ask you guys a couple questions. So who else? Who am I missing? Pam's not here. Phil's going to teach, but Phil, come on up here. You can give them your perspective as the pastor for the weekend. You'll get it up here?
Yeah.
Hold that thought then. All right. Cool part about SLAM campus is it's extremely flexible, right? So I don't like this presentation. So question for y'all. Why do you, first of all,
she's texting with you.
Okay, so they're prepping for something. I'll ask her in a minute. But my question to y'all is, why do you do it, and what do you guys take away from the summer camp or this particular SLAM camp?
Why I do it, having come from another doctrinal church that's small in size but large in impact, this was my second year, and I want to be a part of this body and its ministry. What Chris said, I mean, I probably get more out of it than what I think I contribute, but I'm super impressed with the ministry, with what Phil does, what Chris and Larry and Brian and Lori, and the kids, you know, I say kids, young adults. They are the future for the nation, and as Herman pointed out earlier this morning, they are the future for the church. So my encouragement would be, if you've never been involved and you think you have that itch, scratch it. Come join us.
And we're glad you did. We're very glad you did.
Liability concerns over here.
I can speak for myself as to why I do it, and then I don't know if you probably have, we as a team also, but it was probably 5 years ago at summer camp when somebody mentioned that the church is not within the building, but it's in your community. And this gentleman talked about how his home was just torn up from the kids coming in and out every week. And he, and his electric bill was out the roof, and he didn't care because the doors were open all the time. And I knew from that point that that's what I wanted for our home. And I knew there was a need in our community because our kids had friends that would come to the summer camp occasionally or to come into our home. But I had a feeling that even though they may be going to church with their families, they were not getting a one-on-one relationship with the Lord that I knew that our children had. So at that point, I knew, Chris and I talked about it, and we said, let's, you know, our location here is obviously very remote, and we were having a challenge bringing children with us on Sundays, and so why not just do it in our own home? And Brian and I talked about it, and we said, sure, no problem. So I can't imagine not doing it, to be honest. It is so fulfilling to myself, our family, our relationship with the Lord. It is a pure joy. I mean, pure joy. And Slam Camp is just icing on the cake, honestly. It is such an opportunity for these kids to relax. And, you know, I think there was one kid, Ryan, was it you that said, somebody talked about, asked us in the car the other day, well, when you go to camp, can you keep your cell phone? That's a big deal. I mean, it's a big, big deal. And on the way to dance. And they said, well, no, you can have them on the way up and on the way back, but you leave them on the bus. And they're like, ooh, I don't know if I want to go. And then they said, honestly, within a few hours, you forget that you don't have your phone. And you're very, they actually were grateful that they had the chance to just decompress. Slam Camp is such a great opportunity because we have such a smaller group of kids. Now, it started out much, much smaller. I mean, when I say small, I know Jerry and Leslie are like, no, small was when there was like 10 of them. You know, you guys have gone crazy with 30 or 40. But it feels small to us compared to the hundreds. And I know, Chris, can I, are we going to do that later? I'm grateful to be a part of the SLAM opportunity because it does give these children, who I know will be the leaders as we move forward, the chance to dive into the Word. As Ben said, see how it applies to their life. They come up with it themselves. We just said that. It was awesome.
And for me, as well, I mean, it's just so fulfilling every Wednesday coming, having all the kids over to the house. And I mean, they'll sit there and they'll talk to you about some stuff they might not talk to their parents about or not open up and stuff. And they know we have open door policy. The front door is open. It's never locked. They can come in anytime they want. Slam Camp, it's just amazing. It's a lot easier. We don't do nothing. We just sit there and hold the classes and stuff. They prepare everything. I mean, it's just, and to me, the biggest deal was Walmart up there. You know, the kids try and find people, walk through there, and get kids to pray for other people and stuff like that about what prayers they might need. And me, I went to three different people, and I pretty much got the door shut. You know, I'm older and everything like that. The kids, they ask them, they'll sit there and they'll talk to them until they're blue in the face, and they'll open up to them and everything. It was just amazing, just a great thing. Thank you all very much.
Come on, Larry. Now we can talk to your piece, all right? So you wanted to talk to them. Tell them about the...
Okay, and before I do that, there's a couple of other people that definitely helped get us to Slam Camp in a way that we could not do without them. One of them is Leslie. Thank you very, very much. Not just from the financial perspective, but all the communication that goes out and all the crazy emails I send her at all hours of the night and text messages. A huge, huge appreciation. The other is Rick and Terry, who took on something this year that we just really were pushing for, and that was to do online registration. It was very new. They put a lot of hours into it, and I will thank them later. But very, very much. So as Chris mentioned, the juniors this year ran the show. This was something, again, God every year changes things for us at every camp. You know, whether it's we don't have any water and we have to figure out how to not blob, or we have too much water and we have to figure out how to not blob, or we're at Slam Camp and we don't have enough staff to run these groups, or then the Spirit says, well, wait a minute, you have staff, they're built into these children that are junior counselors. So for this was the first time that we brought up these juniors to be seniors to lead these groups. And you know, when Lori mentioned it, I thought, great idea, but I'm interested to see how some of these children are going to wrap their arms around this and really put their bootstraps on and do this. As somebody said, Mackenzie, it's a lot of work. We know it. We've done it, and the kids sometimes just, when you say, okay, guys, we're going to have to think of some worship songs. I will never forget the year Rick and Terry said, we don't listen to that. Nobody in our group knows any worship songs. What are we going to do? I mean, we listen to rock music. I have no clue. And now we put that challenge out with these children. These children, they had their music within 5 minutes. They all knew what songs they wanted. So the Spirit knew exactly what he was doing when he encouraged us to have these children step up. There were 11 of these members that were, they're all from Plano, right? But all 11 of them came from this group of children from Plano. They all wanted to take this role on. None of them were discouraged or challenged or, why are you guys doing it? None of them. They all picked it up with the baton and ran with it. I, you know, they got the same apprehension where the first week in the group, none of the kids saw. It was very funny. And we broke them up in different areas of our, oh, that was the other thing. We had too many to come in here. So another challenge. So Brian and I said, just bring them to our house. So we had them upstairs, downstairs, outside, in their different groups. And I don't know, they came up with some of the coolest stuff, better than we could have ever thought of. As Ryan said, you know, having them lead the groups and having them integrate the different ages made a big difference, I think, in how Ben talked about the relatability to how it applies to their lives. So we acknowledge them at the end because, again, they put their hearts and souls into putting this thing together, and we have trained them up.
All right, so I would love for Lori, if she can, stick her head out from back there. Can you join? Can you come up? So Lori's going to tell us a little about, Larry mentioned it, Brian mentioned it, but I want Lori to tell us a little bit about the car challenge that we have. So we take all 40 kids, some leave from Plano, some leave from Wiley, and we take off and we head down to, out to Brookhaven, which is where we go. But they have a little bit of a challenge on the way, and I'll let Laura tell you.
We started calling it a car challenge. I don't know if we talked about that. I think we started it 3 years ago with this, and we just thought, we want to do something to break all of us out of our comfort zone, because it's one thing to go sit somewhere isolated, just all of us, and talk about something. It's another thing to actually interact with people and show the love of God, you know, and step out of our comfort zone and say, I don't care if I'm embarrassed a little bit. This is about something bigger than me. And we started that about 3 years ago with our theme that year was prayer. And so we gave a car challenge. And it's called a car challenge because when the kids all get in these different cars, because we don't take buses, we take all of our vehicles, there's an envelope in there. And we have one of the kids open it up. And your mission, should you choose to accept it, is. So that's what it was. You open it up and you read it out with the adult that's driving in the car and the kids, and you start talking about, here's the challenge. So we did this the first year. I mean, the adult, we were all going, no, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Who's making us do this? But,
and everybody does it, not even the people with the children in their car.
Yeah, I mean, every adult, and we told the kids from the beginning, we will never ask you guys to do something that we're not willing to do too, even if it's hard for us also. So that year was prayer, and the challenge was, get out. You have to meet someone that you do not know, that's not part of our group, before you get to camp. It could be at Walmart, it could be at CC's where we eat. You have to meet somebody, and you have to find out something to pray for them for. We're talking about prayer. And so that night we sat down when we got to camp, and I think for an hour we prayed for, you know, 40 people that none of us had ever met. We put their names all on the marker board, and it was just a powerful, amazing thing for us to learn the power of prayer and how God puts people on our hearts that we may never see again or know how God's going to answer those prayers. And then last year we did Defending Your Faith. So our car challenge was, all the kids got, they opened the envelope. Go ask somebody, what do they think happens to them when they die that you've never met, and why do they believe that? So they're like, wow, we thought prayer was hard. This is tough. And so we just talked about what's a way you could do that. And we said, just tell them that you're on a retreat and you're taking a survey. And this is part of our retreat for the weekend where they might answer in a couple of questions. So lots of things we learned and lots of discussions we had. So this year was about discipleship. who said, how are we going to do this? So we came up, we all talked, and we came up with, let's look and see if there's something we see someone might need, you know, whether it's helping them carry groceries out to the car, hold open a door, a physical need that we observe. We talk about all the time, love observes the need. So we're walking in, please God, open our eyes to where there's a need. Love observes the need. We go help meet the need. And then after we've done that, say, is there something we can pray for? So we're talking about meeting a physical need that God helps us to see, and then a spiritual need that only God can do. And so that's how we presented it. A lot of times the kids would go up, there wasn't necessarily physically something they needed, but the kids, what can we pray for you for? And I heard Brian talking about it. I heard all of them talking about these kids. Just they went out and they we tell them to go in pairs. We don't let them go alone, but we tell them not to go in big groups. But we just kept as the adults, we kept meeting people that would see our shirt and say, wow, did you already talk? We just met some of your kids, and they just blew us away. We didn't even know there's kids like this anymore that are out there. They're representing the Word of God. They're praying for us, and we are just blown away. So it was just an encouragement back to the adults, too, and for the kids to just know that what they're doing, it does mean something. God does have a purpose for the choices we're making every moment of our day, and it was very powerful. So. And the one other thing I wanted to share with you guys is, you know, when we go to youth group and we go to these camps, sometimes the kid, you know, you just don't know what God has planned. And sometimes the most awkward kid that you see, you know, you see them kind of really struggling in school or struggling, or the one that may not make friends so easily. And then you just see something come out, you know, at camp and how they're using them. And it's just a powerful, amazing thing. So anyway, it was awesome. Thank you.
So I wanted to tell you about one specific example on the car challenge. So Laura and I are standing up in the front of the Walmart, and we've got 20 kids running around Walmart trying to talk to people. And as we're standing there, a lady comes up to us and she says, "Hey, just talk to your kids." And they were pretty amazing. And they were asking me, trying to help with this, and they asked me what they could pray for. And the lady said, "I told them, and I don't tell this to anybody, but I told this to your kids, that my son's in jail and my other son is a pastor, and he has a really hard time forgiving his brother who's in jail." And she said, "I was expecting your kids to pray with me right there." And they didn't, so I was a little disappointed. She said that, and so we talked to the kids about that. Hey, if you have the opportunity, you know, do it, lean in and let's do this. But as she walks around and she's telling us, Lori just reaches over, puts her hand on her shoulder and says, "Well, let's pray right now." And we're standing in the front of the Walmart praying with this lady, who's a Walmart worker, by the way. So, yay, Walmart workers. And we sat there and we prayed for her brother. And I mean, her son, both of her sons, the one that's in jail and the one that's having a really hard time as a pastor, having a brother in jail. I can only imagine. Both of those are very tough places to be. But we had the opportunity to sit there and pray with her right there. And then we had another guy come over. So we had one of our counselors from last summer brought their son there, met us there. Steven, if you guys know Steven, Steven's amazing. He's just, I mean, you want to talk about a guy who boldly lives his faith in front of everybody. That's Steven. And he comes in, and we're talking to him, and he's loud, and he's got his... It kind of reminds me of you, Herman. But he's just over the top, and we're talking, and this guy walks up and says, "Hey, man, more power to you, brother." We're praying. I mean, we pray with him. We're praying with all these people in Walmart, right in the front of Walmart, just praying together. You talk about represent. It wasn't us. I had literally four different people that came to us as we're standing in front who told us, "Hey, bless you and your kids that are out running around here." We had another group of kids that, and I got to tell you these stories because these are the ones that make it real. I can tell you the you know, philosophical stuff and all of that, but this is real stuff where we had a group of kids that were helping this lady who was trying to get groceries on one side of the grocery store to the other side of the grocery store. And our counselors were late getting to, some of our college kids were late getting out to Brookhaven because they stayed there for like a half an hour helping this lady with her groceries and getting them from one side, you know, wherever she needed to go. We had another group of kids that saw a guy who's having a really hard time with his, you know, trying to get around, and they run over and they grab one of those little cart things. Now, I thought it was because they wanted to drive the cart, but I think there was a little, and they try to get the cart going, and the cart's not going. So they run out and they grab another Walmart worker and say, "Hey, this cart's not working, and this guy needs a cart." And so they get this all coordinated and they get this cart. It was Deani, you were involved. Oh, you want to share some of that, Deani? Come on, Deani. Sorry, I'm telling all your stories, Deani.
Don't knock that over.
We love you, but we have to have that. Okay?
I'm just teasing.
So you want to tell them a little bit about what was going on, what you saw in the car challenge thing? This is Deani, y'all.
For the car challenge, it was me, Amber, I think it was Emily. And we were all excited to do the car challenge because it was our first time. Well, my first time in doing it. And I was telling her that I can make friends really easily. And she was like, then everyone started saying, yeah, she says, we're going to kick at this. So we started talking, and I think about 5 seconds we got into the Walmart. We already had met one person. I think her name was, Sardine, and she was a really nice person. She was one of the people that was trying to get the people from Verizon, and we had asked her, is there anything we needed help to pray about or needed help with anything? And she told us that, she said that her, she said this job wasn't really paying very well, so we started kind of praying over that. And then she says, I haven't told anyone this. She says, but I'm going through a divorce. And I was like, I see how you feel. And we started talking because my mom and dad had got a divorce, so we had started talking about her. So then she says, you are a very blessed child. And she says, you and your friends going out to do this. She says, I never thought I would see a child like you in a day of my life doing this. And I think it was close to us getting ready to go. We had saw this man. He needed help because he needed, like, one of the little scooters, the little buggies. So we had went searching for one of those. And we just come across, and I almost ran into it. I was like, oh, they're free ones. So I kind of looked around, and I was like, can we take this? And she was like, oh, no. So I was like, well, can we go find a manager or something? So we had went to talk to him, and he said we can take it, and he brought it to the man. Then he started talking. He was like, thank you so much, he says, because all these kids outside, you don't never see them doing anything like y'all. He says that, he's like, y'all are very blessed. He says, all the people in this world needs to learn about y'all. He says, I hope y'all continue doing it.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Deani's going to come back up and sing us a song here in a second. Deani has a beautiful voice.
So we're going to move into that. But in the interest of, we got all kinds of time, right, Herman? There's no clock on this thing.
No.
Yeah, you guys say that now. Okay. We're going to,
anybody else have anything to add or any questions? I'm kind of done with the talking part. But does anybody else have any questions or any... anything they want to know about Slam Camp or the summer camp or otherwise? Otherwise, we're going to jump into some music worship, and then Phil's going to do us some Phil's going to do us some teaching. Yeah, like. Okay, so to kick off our music worship, while Deani's going to catch your breath here and then come back up and sing for us, right, sweetheart? All right, we're going to liven it up a little bit here to get started. And can we open that up and make sure that's working? I want to make sure I got some sound going here. Am I still connected? Give me a second. Sorry. I know it's connected to Will Play. What's that?
Turn it off, turn it back on?
Yeah.
Is it?
All right. So let's get
to some worship style. Which is cool. Some people are more expressive in worship, some people are more subtle, and it's all good. I go to a church that's pretty expressive in worship. It's a Henry's church. That's what it is, right? Cool. Anybody here go to a Henry's church? Who here does not go to a Henry's church? Some of you are trying, you're like, I can't. I want you to. I need to get some momentum. Totally cool. But hey, if you're not used to going to hand-raising church, you want to go and join us, feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand-raises that we use. We actually have names for our hand-raises. So I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're my church, music is rocking, start slow. Hands in the pockets, little elbow flat. Very subtle. Get warmed up. Get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Carry the TV. That's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen. Big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. If you're a liar and go out there, that's fine. Great. Next one's hold my baby. Hold my baby. Dueling light bulbs. That goal post. Everybody knows goal posts. No heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa. The circle of life. Tim, can you go higher? Yes, you can. You get one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Release the doves, give the Lord a high five. Press it out. A lot of women like to wash the window. Wash the window. And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village people, Rocky touchdown. All right,
so as we get ready for some music worship, pick your favorite hand wave or whatever you want to call it. We're going to stand, we're going to have Deani come up and sing us a song, and we're going to rock a little bit, have a little fun. As you can see, we have a good time at SLAM in our teaching and in our music. And
you
want
to jump in church?
Yeah.
All right, so give me 10 seconds here. Deani, you want to come on up, and we will get you started, sweetheart. You want to turn some light on?
Alright.
Or do you want to leave it up like this? Because you can see this really well. You want it like this? She wants it like this. We can leave it right here, Armin.
She wants it like this.
Just like that. Alright, so here's your microphone. You don't have to be right on it, but you can be like right there. And it's all yours. We have that one.
Ready?
Here we
I shackled by my feet so I can dance. I just want to praise you. I just want to praise you. You broke the chains, now I got it in my hands. And I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you. And the corners of my mind, I just can't seem to find a reason to believe. stress just fell on me. So I was gonna lose my mind. But I know, wanna see if I will hold on to this trust. But I need to lift this up, cause I can't take it no more.
Turn this over to Phil to tell us a little bit about what he was teaching and what he wants to know.
I'm going to get tissue in advance. Because I just get to see these kids and to get a chance to teach them is just a tremendous blessing to me. I just get overwhelmed to think about the opportunity at times. But so I'll be ready. And and also, this is the Bible teaching part of your class this morning. And James Wood said he wasn't going to listen to a preacher that doesn't have a tie before. And I can't prepare.
You're not wearing a t-shirt.
And since we are going to turn to the Word of God and look at what we studied this slam camp and what you studied here, as a matter of fact, also. So let's start with the word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, how gracious and wonderful it is to be a part of your plan. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the fact that you've saved us and redeemed us through the work of your Son. And as if that were not enough, you've empowered us and given us your Spirit that we might live our lives in a manner pleasing to you, glorifying to your Son. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look to your Word this morning and review some things that we saw at Slam Camp and review our own discipleship, our own commitment to your Word and your Spirit in our lives. And we pray that God the Holy Spirit will work in me this morning, and that we might be edified in our observation of theme study. For it's in Christ's name that we pray, sir. Amen.
So,
testing. All right. Okay. Okay. I can dance now. Got the mobile unit on. Okay. Let's see. We studied discipleship, and I want to talk about that a little bit. But really, the thing that I want you to learn as we study the Word of God together this morning is that God the Holy Spirit is alive and powerful. And And what he does through this ministry has just been tremendously amazing. To see, to get a big picture, I got the idea, or was inspired, I would hope to say, to do this slam camp this year, before even summer camp came up last year. And, I've ran it by Herman, and I ran it by Chris, and I ran it by Larry, and all three of them went, discipleship? And that's a good reaction to have to it, because, as I did prep for this, there are a lot of programs, you know, you can buy the canned programs for churches, and, there are a lot of programs, and there are a lot of, things that you can find on, from different denominations, where discipleship is a works program, right? And it's easy to see how that happens. And even us, you know, when we did the challenge going up, you could turn that easily into a do-gooder, you know, kind of rah-rah thing, or you could turn it into aren't I wonderful? It is so easy to feel to get arrogant about what God the Holy Spirit does, even if you originally were wrong on God the Holy Spirit, and you go in there and you get to witness somebody, you can, it's just easy to say, "Wow, man, I did a great thing there," you know, and try to turn it into your own works instead of God the Holy Spirit's. The challenge is, you know, like I said, we have to do them, we get to do them too, and this year. I had got the challenge driving up there, and they were sitting in the CC's, and their groups had gone, the Wiley group had gone over there, and we ate pizza. I ate a lot of pizza. And I was sitting there thinking, well, you know, maybe I'll just sit this challenge out this year. And the Plano group got up and went, and I was talking to the Wiley people, and we were, you know, discussing things and whatnot. And I almost blew it off, and I thought, no, gotta do it, gotta be, show leadership and do the same thing the kids do. And so I'm praying in the back of my mind, God, please give me an opportunity to serve someone and give them the gospel. I dare you to pray that. I dare each and every one of you to pray that. I got up from the table and started to walk out, CC's to go to Walmart. I did not cover the length of CC before someone said, "God bless you," and looking at my shirt and said, "God bless you," and so I started talking to the guy and about his relationship with Christ. I used a joke there that none of the kids got, because the guy said, I asked him what about his relationship with Jesus, and he said, "Well, it's okay." And I said, "Well, if Jesus is just all right with you, then that makes you a doobie brother, not a Christian, you know." When I told that to the kids, they all went, "What's a doobie brother?" Yeah. Blake still doesn't know who the doobie brothers are. Yeah. We've got to play that song for them later, yeah. But, I dare you to pray that prayer. Next time you get sitting in your car and you're going to go into the grocery store, pray that prayer and, see what God the Holy Spirit puts in front of you. And, to get the opportunity to, talk to someone about their, belief in Christ and this guy, he was a believer, but he was terribly troubled about the judgmental attitude that he got when he went to a church, you know, and, it gave me the opportunity to talk to him about what Christ had done and how we don't have a right to judge one another and that we have to forgive each other of that, of that kind of activity, and urged him to get back to his church and or find another one or get some Bible class online to sharpen his relationship with the Lord. So God the Holy Spirit has been amazing throughout this thing. And to see these kids jump into the Word of God, I see them studying, looking at passages, looking at other passages, calling to mind a verse they had heard before and telling each other about it. I see them studying the Bible better than I see adults study the Bible a lot of times. So
they're definitely doing a fantastic job of that. You know, they had to come up with their own verse and game and lesson. That's hilarious. Had this one game, because they're making up these games, had this one game where a blindfolded kid on a hippity hop was being guided by another kid to pick things up and deliver them and then throw them on one end to the other. The rules were just incomprehensible to me. And I watched them play this game, and I'm thinking to myself, what in the world can they come up with for spiritual application? These people are bouncing all over the place, throwing things this way and that, and they came out and said, life is crazy and you're bounced all over the place, but it's God the Holy Spirit guiding you, you can get through the goal. Yeah. I think, okay, that works. That worked for me. All right. Yeah. And so they do a fantastic job. And, you know, we have this 3-day opportunity to get together, but you guys, they got together four weekends before that. Every one of those weekends were a time when they were getting together and studying the Word of God. If we can get a group of kids together to study the Word of God, we're winning. We're doing it. So that's worth the price of admission right there. But fantastic things happen at Slam Camp, and we get to study things. Often as a pastor, you work and you prepare for a goal, and it ends up that you don't do the class exactly the way you thought it was going to go, or you don't get to say, you end up teaching something that you didn't study. Yeah. You studied it at a different time. We weren't planning on teaching it at that time. And it was real fun to watch the evolution of this and the way the kids came up with the verses. Lori finds those verses. We don't coordinate on those. God, they were the exact verses. They were the exact verses the kids the kids did picked and did presentations on. I couldn't have picked a better verse in any case. It was, and you know, it's the obvious fingerprints of God when you have five people come up with a verse and there's a single unifying theme for them, you know, and the interaction between those kids this time was tremendous. As they learned not only to study the Word of God, but to treat each other in love greater and greater, it's a tremendous thing, guys. It's a tremendous thing to see. Our verse that we first came up, the first bit of inspiration was John 15. As we talked about discipleship going into it earlier this year, they said, well, we need a tagline, right, verse for our t-shirts. And I said, okay. And I got to looking around, and I didn't want it to be a works-oriented thing, right? I didn't, certainly. And didn't want to point the study in a works-oriented way. And so it was amazing when I came across John 15:8, where we're told, Christ tells us, by this is my Father glorified. You gotta love it when Jesus puts, you know, no parable, no nothing, right? God, that's the kind of direction we always want from God is, tell me to do this one thing, you know, not give me a parable. Tell me exactly what it is. Here's Christ telling you, here it is. By this thing, do this thing, my Father's glorified. That you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciple. You want discipleship, you're going to bear the fruit of God the Holy Spirit in your life. This glorifies Christ. This promotes the plan of the Father, and it shows everybody else what Christ has done in your life when you bear that fruit. And we looked at a lot of verses. Between their verses, the ones that I gave them in challenge for them to explore after I taught, and the verses that I taught, there were over 20 passages that we covered in those 3 days. Some of them entire chapters, and some of it just one verse, but over 20 different passages that we looked at. And we didn't just read them. We pretty much looked at them, examined them, and thought about them and talked about them. And I'm going to cover all 20 of those with you today.
I was told I was going to get 30 minutes. I had to.
I do have a couple of these that I want to. We have three classes that we do for the Bible classes or for the Slam Camp. And the first one, I had told Chris earlier in the year we're going to. He said, "Well, what's camp going to be? What are you going to teach about?" And I said, "I'm going to teach the same thing I always teach: plan of the Father, the work of the Son, and the power of the Spirit." You know, and because it's what I teach every time I teach class. But it's know the plan of God, grow in the knowledge of Christ, and demonstrate the fruits of God the Holy Spirit in your life. And this is our plan of discipleship. And we looked at knowing God's plan, and the first thing we looked at was Gideon's 300 in Judges chapter 7, and we saw how God wants a prepared group. He doesn't need large numbers. He needs a small people, a small group that are dedicated and thinking more about the mission than about themselves. And we saw that commitment is called for in the word of God as well, in a lot of different places. One of them, Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to read 37 to 39 for you. Again, the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 10. And as a man's enemies will see, verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves sons or daughters more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. God demands our commitment, right? When we abandon our own work and rely wholly on the work of God the Father, the plan of God the Father, and the work of the Son, and the work of His Spirit in our life to live our Christian life, we've got to be committed to abandoning everything about this world, what people say is cool and what people say is important, and be willing to do the crazy thing, like ask a stranger if they need prayer. You know, we've got to be willing to put the study of the Word of God and the time to pray and the works of God the Holy Spirit in our life first in everything that we do. So on the second class, we were talking about growing in the knowledge of Christ, and we looked at some reasons why God the Father had to come up with this marvelous plan where He gets to do all the work and we get to simply rely on that work. And I wanted the kids to understand the reason why God had to do it that way. So we looked at Romans chapter 3. And Romans chapter 3, picking it up at 10, or excuse me, 9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all, for we have already charged that both Jew and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave, and with their tongues they keep receiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the paths of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's why God had to come up with this marvelous plan of doing all the work Himself, because we were strictly, completely, 100% unqualified to do any of that work. Whether it be the work of saving ourselves from the penalty of our sin, or the work of living our daily lives. We need the power of God because we have no power of our own that we can use. And so we looked at several other verses on the fact that God has to do the work, and that because he's done that work, we simply rely on him in faith. We looked at 1 John 1, 5 through 10, and saw how we get that point of contact with God, where we realize our own uselessness before him, and we confess that we are unable to get that job done ourselves, and rely on the work that God has done for us. And we did that at the cross, and we do that each and every day in our daily lives by relying on God, the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a point of pass-through point, like I've used the illustration before. When we go to Houston from Dallas, we go down 75, almost, you know, most people do. And when you go down 45, pardon me, you go through a town called Centerville, a little town halfway between here and there. And although everyone in this room has probably made that drive to Houston down 45, if I asked you, have you ever been to Centerville, you'd probably say no, right? But every one of you has been through Centerville. And that's pretty much the way confession is in our approach to God. We kind of have to go through it, but it isn't the point of the trip, right? Okay. So, we looked at confession and coming to God, remembering our sinfulness, and is the reason why we have to rely on the power of God. And, finally, we looked at, in our third class, which was, showing those fruits in our lives, we looked at, Ephesians 5. And I would like for most of you to turn there if you got your Bible. This is a low tech. This is Bible 1.0. It never breaks down. Well, I take that back. I got a couple of pages falling out. But it requires no electricity. Yeah. It works well. Let's see. Ephesians. Ephesians 5. We're going to pick it up in 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. So how are we going to be imitate? How are we going to do what God does? Imitate God, right? And walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice of God, to God as a fragrant aroma. Do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting that are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So we're going to be imitators of God. And, of course, to do godly things, we need godly power. So we go to God the Holy Spirit to give us that power in our daily walk. And the way that he makes us imitators of God is he produces the fruits of God in our life. How do you know that you're filled with the Spirit? There's a good question that I've heard from the kids and adults alike. How do you know that you're filled with the Spirit? Well, how do you know an orange tree is an orange tree? It's got fruit on it, right? It's got an orange hanging on it. You know, if a tree grows an apple, I could pretty much assume it's a apple tree. If this tree grew a pear, I could say it's a miracle. This is a plastic tree. The obvious point is we know that we're in the Spirit when we see God's work being produced in our life. And if that's hard for you to see the fruits of the Spirit, it's easy to see the fruits of the flesh, right? When you're angry, not in tune with God, right? When you're envious or jealous or you're being mean to somebody, when you're expressing your fleshly nature, you know that you're not in the spirit. And you can overcome those things. You can do the things that God wants in your life. Be the person that God wants you to be simply by going back to Houston through Centerville, right? You're going to go back to the cross and remember that Jesus has paid the price for those sins. And you're going to you're going to believe that God the Holy Spirit can make you a better person and give you the power to do those things. And you're going to look for the fruits, because the fruits prove that you are a disciple, that you're a representative of God. In the ancient world, there weren't just Christian disciples, right? Everybody had a disciple. If they had a following, a cult, a church, they had adherents that came on. And there were, I did some extra biblical stuff and looked around, and not just for Hebraic scholar, the idea of discipleship, but among any, like the disciple of Isis or something. There were about four things that all of them had in common that they expected. They expected the responsibility of the disciple. If you're going to call yourself a disciple of anybody, anything, you were expected, one, to memorize the words of your rabbi, your teacher. And, of course, they had to memorize the words because they didn't have a book to carry around, right? And, two, learn your teacher's traditions and scriptural interpretations, right? If you kept this in the Hebraic sense, every rabbi had a different way of looking at the Mosaic law and telling you, the people that turned to him, how to live the Mosaic law in a way that pleased God and, you know, wasn't too inconvenient for you, right? And so that's why you have some people wear the beanie in church, some wear the beanie all the time, you know, and all those different thousands and thousands of rules. So the way that your teacher, rabbi, interpreted that would be the way you and your family lived it. Memorize the words of the teacher, learn the teacher's traditions and scriptural interpretations, imitate the actions of the teacher. So if your teacher was a bad person or a bad thing, we knew that it's going to make other people be bad. If your teacher is perfect, then all of his adherents are going to be perfect too, right? So imitate the actions of the teacher. And the fourth responsibility of any disciple of anything is raise up more disciples. And those are all certainly things that Jesus expected of his disciples. And the way that we raise up more disciples is to love more people, to show more grace towards others, to be prepared to represent our Lord and Savior in any circumstance and to anyone. And these are the principles that we looked at, and these are the things that we hope we imposed on the souls of our young people, and hope that they will in turn give them to others, to their friends and to their children, and maybe even their children's children. Okay? And that's why we all do this. Okay? So, Chris, you want to close us in prayer? And I got news for you guys. They don't need me to do this camp. They could do just a fine job without me going and boring people for 45 minutes at a time periodically through the camp. It's my privilege. It's my pleasure. It's my great blessing that I get to be a part of this camp. And I thank you.
So I think what I was supposed to take away from that is the cross is in Houston and we live in Dallas. And we better get back to Houston to Centerville pretty quickly, right? Yeah. Awesome.
Houston, we have a problem.
It's always a pleasure to have Phil teach. It really is amazing to see the kids, how they respond, the young people, how they respond, not just to the teaching, but to all the things that are going on. Can you hear me down here? All right. Fix that. All right, so I recognize that we're out of time, but I wanted to close with a video that shows you guys a little bit of fun that we have up there It's about 5 minutes. If y'all have to, you know, lunch date or something, please feel free to head out, or you can watch. But I'm going to close in prayer as soon as we get done watching the video, and we will go from there. While I'm setting this up, I'll try to multitask, which, as Larry knows, I cannot do well. So I want to thank everybody for all of their support for the youth, and we'll watch this real quick.
Oh, I didn't hear you. Hold that phone. I don't have a button.
Oh, while he's doing that, there's one thing I wanted to mention while they were ironing out those technical difficulties. While I was up there teaching the young people that their discipleship, their reason for being is to demonstrate the fruits of God, and I also was teaching them that their eternal reward is based on the fruits that God demonstrates through them. At the exact same time here, that Sunday, Herman was teaching you guys. God's Holy Spirit is ready to work in you, and your eternal reward is based on it.
Yeah. Okay, we'll watch this real quick.
I can feel little ghosts surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face
this prayer, and thank you for the patience. This is how we ended our slam camp, so you guys can do the offer. Please. We will go away with this, and this is what we left our kids with as we ended slam camp.
You've done it again, Lord. You've done it again. You are good and you are mighty and you are merciful. And you keep taking care of me when I don't deserve it. Praise you, Jesus. You are Lord. Give me another one, Lord. Guide me to who you want me to be. Raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, to be lukewarm and will stand on your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. I pray for unity among those that love you. I pray that you open their eyes so that they can see your truth, Lord. I pray for your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take light into this world, that will not compromise when under pressure, that will not cower, Lord, when others fall away. Raise them up, Lord, that they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees, who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle, that we may proclaim King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I pray these things with all my heart. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up.
Congregation, that is what SLAM's all about. That's what our youth ministry is all about. Let's raise them up. So, amen. That's all I've got. Thank you all for your patience with us.